Man, the old rugged cross has made a difference in the lives of lots of people down through the years. I know it made a difference in my life, and I hope that it'll make a difference in somebody's life here tonight. Now, Brother Miller's our pastor, and he's a fine preacher, and he needs your help tonight, and you can help him by praying for him. That's the way you can help him. And ask the Lord that he will open hearts and give the word free course, that we might be able to rejoice with some newborn soul here tonight. Brother Miller. Bless
you. Well, I want to say thankful to be back tonight. I want to join in with Brother Moran and welcoming everyone and welcoming our visitors tonight. We're so thankful to have you with us, and we appreciate you coming to help us in our revival services. I want to also agree with Brother Moran wholeheartedly about the service last night. I believe the Lord really blessed us and was with us, and we saw good things happen. And like he said, we're expecting God to continue to do good things among us. I really enjoyed the sermon last night. I got all wrapped up in it and thought about it a lot today. And I came tonight, and Brother Moran and I were talking before church, and he said, "Brother Miller," he said, "I bought me a new Bible and I don't like it." He said it's he didn't like the size of the print and everything, and I thought, well, goodness sakes, I'm going to take him out and get him a Bible he'll like, and we'll really hear some preaching. But I really did enjoy the good message of truth. And that's what we do when we preach. We're not here to be recognized, to be seen, to be honored. We're here to try to present the truth to people. And the Lord Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will liberate the souls of people. And I'm thankful for God's truth. And I pray, all the time, God help me to preach the truth. I don't want to misrepresent God's word. And, the Bible teaches us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to preach the truth. And I want you to pray that the truth will go forth here tonight and throughout our revival effort. I ask for your prayers. I want to call your attention to a scripture reading from the third chapter of Exodus. I believe this will be very familiar to most all. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. And I would like to stop reading there with verse 9. And I want us to think for a moment here about what happened to Moses. This was just right after that he had fled Egypt. And the Bible tells us here that Moses saw something that it fascinated him. You know, when I read the scriptures, the scriptures can do so many things and can be so many things to us. The scriptures can be very comforting, very consoling. They can be, as David said, they can be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. The scriptures certainly instruct us in the things of God. But can they not just be fascinating when you read the scriptures? I mean, there are things, and I've been, ever since I was a teenager, I remember reading these scriptures, reading this account of Moses at the burning bush when I was a teenager, and being fascinated by it. And God got the attention of Moses. He got his attention by the bush that was on fire, but the fire wasn't burning it up. It wasn't consuming it. And we know from the scriptures, and I'm not going to take the time to talk about it directly, but we know from the study of the scriptures that Moses was a great man of God. He was a very faithful servant of God. Moses has a very, occupies a very important, he's a very prominent person in Scripture. And, but I'm not here really in this to talk about Moses or to talk about his life tonight, but I want you to think about what happened here when he saw this great sight and he turned aside. He said, you know, I'll turn aside and see this great sight of this bush that's burning and isn't being consumed. And the Bible tells us that when the Lord saw, in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. I believe there was something to me here anyway, that's even more fascinating than a bush that's burning but is not being consumed, and that is that God was speaking to man. God was calling to man. And I want to use a title this evening, and that being When God Comes Calling. Now, certainly, as I've already said, Moses was indeed a very faithful man and a very faithful servant of the Lord. He wasn't perfect. I mean, we know that he was not a perfect man, but he was a faithful servant of God. But I'll tell you what, Moses did not have a monopoly on this. Moses was not the only one that God ever spoke to. He certainly was not the only man that God ever called. And before this ever took place, before we events leading up to this, before the time that Moses ever stood before that burning bush and heard the voice of God calling him, God had already been speaking to his creation. And that's what I want you to think about this evening, that God speaks to his creation. And God calls unto them. And if you're here tonight, and I want to say this in the beginning, if you're here tonight and God calls unto you, I believe that perhaps some of the best instruction we've ever heard, perhaps the best example that we can have of that is what happened to Samuel when he was a child. And he was there in the temple, and the Bible says that the light went out, and the Lord called unto Samuel. And he thought that it was the old priest, he thought it was Eli calling him, and so he got up and he went to him and he said, you called me. And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. And after this happened a number of times, Eli perceived that the Lord was speaking to the child. He perceived that the Lord had called him. And he told him, he said, you go back and you lay down, and if you hear this again, you just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And I'll tell you what, that's the best thing that anybody can do when God calls. Amen. Speak to me, for I hear, and I'm listening, and I'm ready to obey your voice. I'm thankful, and I don't want to get into this quite yet, but I'm thankful for the times in my life where I know that God was calling to me. And I want to share some things with you tonight, and this is the way the Lord has burdened my heart and the direction in which He is leading me. And I want to share some things with you tonight from the Scriptures that I may preach the Word as we're instructed to do, but I want to also share with you some things that I have experienced. And I'm thankful for the things that I have been able to learn from the Holy Scriptures. And I'm thankful for the things that I have experienced in my lifetime. The things that God has shown unto me. I'm thankful for experimental religion. I'm thankful for experimental knowledge. I'm thankful for a salvation that I have that the Lord let me know that I was saved. I feel sorry for people. I really do. I've spoke about this here before. I feel sorry for people who believe that the only witness that they can have of their salvation is what's in the written word. I'm telling you, God speaks. He speaks. And he calls just as he called Moses. We go back and we think about who was the first, or what was the first time, and who was the first person that the Bible tells us that God called them. And we can see that this started from the very beginning because it took place with the first man ever on earth. The Bible tells us that God called unto Adam. He called unto Moses there at the burning bush, and the Bible tells us that he called unto Adam in the third chapter of Genesis, and this was after that man had disobeyed God, after that man had transgressed that one law that God had given to man. And the Bible tells us in the third chapter of Genesis, and starting in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. He called him. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And I'm going to tell you what I believe about that. Of course, I believe that God knew where Adam was at. I believe he knew where he was at physically. I believe he knew where he was at spiritually. And I'm convinced that when God called unto Adam and asked him that question, "Where art thou?" that he was inquiring about more than just where he was at geographically or physically. I believe he was calling to him, "Where do you stand with me, Adam? Why are you hiding from me?" He hadn't hid from him before. And God called him and said, "Where art thou, Adam?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" If we go to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the first verse, we find God calling a man by the name of Abram. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And so God was calling to his creation from the very beginning, from the very first man. The Bible tells us again that he called unto Adam. We see that he called Abraham to come out of Mesopotamia there, to come out of his homeland, and to go unto the place where he would direct him to go. We see that as we read in Exodus chapter 3, we saw see in there that he called unto Moses there out of the midst of that burning bush and instructed him that he was going to send him there to Egypt before Pharaoh, to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And you can go throughout the scriptures, book after book, throughout the Bible, and you can find illustration after illustration, example after example, where God speaks to the human family. God calls unto people. I'm thankful that he does. I'm thankful that we can hear and know the voice of God. When Jesus was on the earth, he was calling people. He was calling men to a specific task. And we have that example in Matthew chapter 4. I want to share some scripture with you, beginning with verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. This was during the Lord's ministry. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother in the ship, with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed them." And Brother Moran spoke to us last night in the good sermon about how that among the disciples that the Lord had called the 12 unto him and ordained them as his apostles. And the Lord Jesus called these men into the ministry. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in a God called ministry. I believe those that have been called to preach ought to obey that calling from God, and they ought to preach. And those that have not been called of God to preach don't need to try to call themselves and make themselves preachers. I believe God knows who He wants to call. He calls those men who He wants to call, and that's up to God who He wants to call into the ministry. And I believe that those that are going to stand before people and proclaim the gospel as a preacher ought to be called of God for the task. The Bible tells us, and we can see in the fourth chapter of Matthew here, we can see that when the Lord, there walking by the Sea of Galilee and calling these men, calling these brethren into the ministry, we can see here that He was calling common men. He was calling common men into the ministry. And I think about the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, where Paul wrote, and he said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things to confound the mighty. And for the most part, when He calls men for that task, He calls them from among the walks of common people." He calls common people. Point is that God does the calling, and we need to listen. We need to listen. We need to be, again, like Samuel was when he calls. Listen, if God calls to you tonight, for whatever the purpose might be, for whatever that He might call you, and I believe that when God calls, He will make it known to you, and He'll make it clear to you why He's calling you. And I say that from experience. And when He calls, we need to have that attitude. Lord, if it's Your will, speak to me, for Thy servant heareth. I'll tell you what, you may not think about it. I know a lot of times we put emphasis upon the fact that the preachers have been called. They've been called of God to preach. And that's true. But let me tell you something. If you have been saved by God's grace and you belong to the Lord's church, I want you to know that you have a holy calling upon your life. You may not have been called into the ministry, but if you're one of God, you have been called and you have a holy calling that you need to honor and you need to obey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul made that known. He wrote to the church of God, which is at Corinth. He addressed his epistle to those that were sanctified in Christ Jesus, and he said, called to be saints. There is a calling. There is a calling upon all those that have been saved by grace and have the privilege to be a member of the Lord's church here on earth. I want to give God thanks. Sometimes I think about it, and I know that I don't really fully comprehend such a thing, but sometimes I think about the fact that a holy God, a righteous God, would speak to me. That He would call me unto His service. You know, God could do fine without us. But he's chosen us, hasn't he? God, the Bible tells us in Paul's sermon there at Mars Hill, recorded in Acts chapter 17, the Bible tells us that God's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything. God doesn't need us to exist, but we certainly do need him to exist, don't we? He is from everlasting to everlasting before the mountains were brought forth, or ever he had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, God is God. He has always been, and he always will be, and he is self-existent, and he is self-sufficient, and could get by just fine without us. But he has called men and women, and he has chosen us for a specific purpose, and that is that we might be saved, that we might fulfill our purpose in this world. You know, Solomon, when I read the book of Ecclesiastes, it seems like that Solomon just tried everything. He built up a huge kingdom, and he dabbled in riches, and he talked in the book of Ecclesiastes how that he had got to himself men singers and women singers and people that played all sorts of instruments, and he had just looked at life, it seems, from every angle, but he came to the conclusion that to fear God and to keep his commandments is the whole purpose of man. The Bible, King James Bible, says the whole duty of man, the whole purpose of man. It means the same thing. That to reverence the Lord and to obey him is the whole reason for why we are here. I've known people in my life that have struggled with that. I've known people in my life that have questioned their existence. They've questioned why they are even here on earth. They've questioned why they were ever born. They don't seem to understand why they even exist. What a state of confusion for somebody to be in. The Bible tells us very plainly, I'll tell you exactly why you exist. You exist to give honor and glory to the one that created you. You exist for the purpose of reverencing God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for God's purpose, for God's pleasure, not for ourselves. Boy, people don't understand that, do they? I mean, they don't seem to understand that. People think life is nothing more than a time that they have to enjoy temporal things and to enjoy the things of this world, to get their hands on carnal things, that it's a time to have fun and it's a time to gain wealth. And it's a time to do all these things, and then you die, and it's over, and that's a wasted life. We are here to honor the one that created us. That's our purpose. And God calls to us throughout our life that we might fulfill that he may place us where he would have us to be. And I love what Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We do hear it, don't we? We hear the voice of God. And as I was saying earlier, these things, when I read about them in the scriptures, they fascinate me and they thrill me and they excite me. to read about this man, that once lived by the name of Moses, this faithful servant of God by the name of Moses, and to read about how that he was there on the backside of that desert that day, and he saw that awesome side of a bush that was just burning and burning and burning, but not being burned up, and how that he approached that, and how that God called unto him there out of that bush. But listen, God has spoken to me as well, and he's spoken to you. There wasn't anything special about that dirt that Moses was standing on, except for that he was in the presence of a holy God. That's why he was standing on holy ground. And whenever we come into the presence of a holy God, the same is true today. We are on holy ground when we come into the presence of a holy God. I'll tell you what, when God calls, it's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken lightly. The Lord began to speak to me in the days of my youth, and I'm glad that he did. And I've experienced what Adam experienced. I experienced in my life hearing the voice of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about audibly. We have proof in the scriptures that there were people that heard the voice of God in an audible voice. The Bible talks about times when God spoke out from heaven. There were even times when he did that, that the people that heard it thought that it thundered. But there were those that actually heard God call out from heaven. There was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ was being baptized. And when he was baptized by John the Baptist and he came up out of the water, the Bible tells us that there came a voice from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There was another time when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain and was transfigured before them. And there came a voice, as the apostle Peter put it, there came a voice from the excellent glory. But there God spoke again, and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And we know there have been times, and we have examples in the scriptures of God speaking out in an audible voice. You know, the Lord can speak that way, but he doesn't have to. He can speak directly to someone's heart, and that person can know that God is talking to them. God can speak in a crowd of people. God can speak to one person if he chooses, and that be the only person that hears the voice of God. The apostle Paul, when he was talking about his own experience in the book of Acts, it's recorded, and he was telling his experience, and he said that those that were with me indeed saw the light, but they heard not the voice that was speaking unto me. God can do that. God can speak like the thunder, and people can hear, or God can speak the way that he spoke to Elijah there that day. He can manifest a calling to people in a still small voice. But God is an attention getter. I remember in the days of my youth when the Lord began to speak to my heart. And as I begin to say, I experienced what Adam did. I was afraid. I was afraid. Because the Lord called unto me, spoke to me and let me know that I was lost. God told me that. And I'm convinced that nobody else could have told me. I'm convinced that God was the only one that knew that, and He's the only one that still knows that, and He's the only one that can really reveal it unto a person when they are lost and accountable before God. He's the only one that can let you know, friend. You know, we may, we see things and we may have good, we may think we have a good idea, and we may look at a person's countenance and we may say, boy, I just know that person is lost. But let me tell you something. God is the one that can really let a person know that they're lost, and God is the one that can speak to a heart and let that person know when they're saved. And He doesn't need our help. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Him. We need to do what the Lord has called us to do. We need to preach the gospel. Those who have been called of God to preach the gospel, we need to preach the gospel. Those who have been called to be saints need to live their life and honor God like the saints ought to do. And we are responsible to get the gospel out to the world. And we plant and we water, but God gives the increase, and He's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto Him. Salvation is of the Lord, and God can save souls all by Himself. Amen. By Himself. But I thank God that I heard His voice. Adam tried to hide from God in vain. If you try to hide from God, you're going to do it in vain. He tried to hide from God in vain. God called to him. They tried to cover themselves, and they couldn't do that either. And listen, you can't hide from God, and you cannot cover your sins. Only God can do that. Amen. Only the Lord can accomplish that. I remember again in my young years when the Lord began to deal with my heart. There was something different. There was something that I had not experienced before. I grew up among old-time Baptists. Let me put it this way. As far back as I can remember, I was being taken to an old-time missionary Baptist church. I heard the gospel from the time I was just a little bitty guy. And I heard about Jesus, and I heard about the things that He had done in order for us to be able to be saved. But there came a time in my life when the Lord spoke to my heart and made me know that I was lost and separated from God. And God began to deal with me, and God began to draw me, and He began to call to me to come to Him. To come to Him. Sometimes I would sit among a crowd of people. There were times in my life when I was among a crowd of worldly people, and God would just be all over me. And I don't know if any of them knew what was going on, but I knew the Lord was dealing with me. I knew the Lord was speaking to me. And I knew that He was calling me. And I'll tell you what, God will do for you, sinner friend. He will call you to repentance. Repentance is a call from God. Jesus said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Lord, when He makes a person know that they're lost and without the Lord, He will call you to repentance. And listen, you need to obey that call. You don't need to take that lightly, and you don't need to try to make a joke about that. You don't need to try to push that away. You need to realize that when God is calling you to repentance, that he is trying by his goodness to lead you there. Amen. To lead you to repentance. You're going to have to obey his call because we can't do it by ourselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. I remember the time. I remember the very time when I first began to seek the Lord. I remember the night that I found the Lord. I remember the time when God called me into the ministry. I can tell you about it specifically. I can tell you as much detail about that as I can about when the Lord saved me. I had a real experience with God. In the early spring in 1981 in Indianapolis, Indiana, working on my job one night at Western Electric, standing there working on a conveyor line there that night, the Lord spoke to me. I mean, suddenly the Lord spoke to me and called me to preach the gospel. And when he did it, I knew that it was God speaking. I knew what he was telling me. I mean, it was just as plain to me as it could be that God had called me to preach his word. I bet every preacher here tonight can tell you about their calling into the ministry. It's a calling. It comes from God. I'm thankful that I have heard the voice of the Lord. And you know what? God's not finished yet. What I read in God's word, I'm expecting that God is still going to call me. One day, I don't know when it'll come, but one day he'll call me to death. That's what Job said. Job chapter 14, verse 15. Job said, I will call, or thou wilt call, and I will answer thee. And you will too. Every one of us will answer that call. That's a call we won't be able to get out of. When God calls us from this life, we're going. When God calls us from time into eternity, we're going to answer that call, and we're going to obey that call, and we're going to give up the ghost, and we're going to die when he calls. Amen. And when they take, if I'm one of those that die and leave the world, Before the Lord comes back, you know what? While I'm living and thinking about that, I'm anticipating when they lay my body in the ground that I'm still going to hear God call. I'm still going to hear him call. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28, he said, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Listen, if my body has laid in the ground for years and years and the skin worms have destroyed it and it's turned back to the dust from where it was taken, I'm still going to hear God call unto me. I'll tell you what, when God calls, he's got enough authority and enough power in his voice to wake the dead. He did that with my soul. He woke me from that spiritual slumber, from spiritual death. Is he calling you tonight? Is God calling out to you? If he is, you need to obey his voice. You know, we have an example there, and I didn't read it, but we have an example in that third chapter of Exodus. If you read on and go into the next chapter, we have an example there of Moses he argued with the Lord about it. He didn't want to do what the Lord was calling him to do. But you know, God's persistent, isn't he? He's persistent, and the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. There have been times when the Lord called me, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to listen. But we need to listen. We need to listen to the Lord. I'd like for us to have a song. Sometimes we get the idea that, the Lord just, evidently the Lord just wouldn't deal with anybody. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit of God does his work. I believe he does his work. I believe that through the preaching of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, God calls sinners to repentance. That's what he did with me, and God's no respecter of persons, and that's what he continues to do. And I want to encourage you tonight to obey the voice of the Lord. Come to him. Come to him and seek him. Seek him. If you're here tonight and you've already been saved, if God is calling you, if he is calling upon you to do something, you need to do it. You need to be an obedient servant, and you need to obey that call. I believe we saw that happen here last night. I believe God was obeyed last night, and we certainly need to do that. So let's stand and let's sing, and I hope that something has been said that'll be helpful to somebody.
Number 190.